Following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance. You should experience lots of explosions with no body parts. Parents should be ready to cover their ears.
They don't appear to be
This is a Milk and Sea Audio production, where entertainment is always free.
Time for the Broken Sea Audio Production OTR Swag Cast.
And here's part two of Power Records December.
While the Palomino crew finished dinner, Vincent joined other off-duty robots in the recreational arcade. There he met a battered robot named Old Bob, who was the same model as himself. Old Bob was being bullied by a sleek black robot named Star. Vincent dealt Star a stinging defeat in a sharpshooting laser game, thus eliminating Old Bob's tormentor and gaining the old robot's confidence.
My name's Bob, Biosanitation Battalion.
Vincent, vital information necessary centralized. Are there any more like us left on board?
I'm the last one. These upstarts think I'm some old freak.
They still haven't improved on our model. Oh, you can't modify perfection. We're the best.
I couldn't talk freely before, but I have a whole lot to tell you. If Maximilian knew you were here, it'd be the end for the both of us. Vincent, you and your friends are in grave danger. Reinhardt only turned the lights on to prevent any damage to the Cygnus. This is a death ship. These poor creatures are what's left of the crew, kept alive by means I don't pretend to understand. We're more robot than human. Let's get out of here before we're discovered.
Vincent and Old Bob dashed to the Palomino. From there, Vincent transmitted an urgent ESP message to Kate.
Dan, Vincent wants you aboard the Palomino right away.
Let's go, Charlie.
I think I'll tag along.
Reinhardt will solve the one final mystery that has eluded mankind.
Or he'll die in the attempt. Alex, I'm beginning to feel you want to go with him.
On a glorious pilgrimage, straight into what may be the mind of God? I do.
Where are the others?
They were recalled to the ship.
Recalled? Where was your communication? The ESP you share with a robot. Extraordinary.
Back on the Palomino, the pieces of a frightening puzzle began to fall into place as Old Bob told the captain about Dr. Reinhardt's evil secret.
That explains the funeral.
Right.
And the limping robot you spotted.
Do you mean to tell me that there's actually a human body under that clothing?
Exactly, Mr. Booth. They tried to take control of the Cygnus when Dr. Reinhardt ignored the orders to return home. Reinhardt called it mutiny, and they were captured by the sentry robots and are still on board. The most valuable thing in the universe, intelligent life, means nothing to Dr. Reinhardt. Without their wills, the crew became things he could command.
Charlie, start the countdown.
Right.
Vincent, tell Kate I want her and Alex back here on the double.
Kate and Dr. Durant had left the dining room and joined Dr. Reinhardt in the Cygnus's control tower.
Fix navigational course.
You have achieved all this on your own, Dr. Reinhardt. And you would have every right to reject the request of a comparative stranger, but...
What are you hoping for, Alex? Immortality?
No. Scientific truth.
Alex, we have to board right away. They're waiting to blast off.
Prepare reactors!
I will not have you throwing your life away for this.
He can do it. I know he can. There's an entirely different world beyond that black hole. A point where time and space, as we understand it, no longer exists.
Reactors, on!
No.
going to do it. He's really going to do it. He'll kill us all if you don't get us out of here now, Holland.
He wants us out there to monitor his flight. We still have time.
If we wait for Alex, we may be too late. Don't you see? He's hypnotized by that man.
Vincent, tell Kate we want her back here fast, with or without Alex. Tell her why.
Alex.
R squared.
Alex, could I have a word with you?
A squared, sine squared.
Do you remember what we were talking about the other day? We've got to get out of here.
I'm staying.
Shh. Reinhardt is a murderer.
What?
Yes. Those creatures, those are robots. They're humanoids. They're what's left of the original crew.
What's wrong, Miss Kate? You look ill.
Kate's upset because I've elected to stay with the Cygnus.
I hope she's electing also to stay with us.
No, I...
What changed your mind?
I'm not. I will not transmit messages for you.
Dr. Durant moved to one of the silent robots and cautiously removed its reflective face mask. The empty, lifeless eyes of a Cygnus crew member stared back at him.
What are you doing? Come on, Kate, let's get you out of here.
As Dr. Durant escorted Kate toward the elevator, Maximilian advanced toward them. At the end of his outstretched arms, whirled knife-sharp blades. Dr. Durant was cut down in an instant.
Maximilian! You shouldn't have done that. He was a good man.
If there's any justice at all, the black hole will be your grave.
Take the young lady to the hospital.
Cleared for takeoff, Captain. Dr. Durant and Dr. McRae chose to remain aboard.
I told you. Alex brought Reinhardt's theory hook, line, and sinker.
Dr. Durant is dead. Maximilian killed him. They're taking Dr. Kate to the hospital.
Vincent, get old Bob to show us the quickest way there. We may have just enough time. Don't wait too long. Get off before the gravity pull is too strong. No matter what.
Look, Dad, what if...
No matter what, Charlie.
Captain Holland raced aboard the Cygnus with old Bob and Vincent close behind. They reached the hospital just as Kate was being put through Dr. Reinhardt's mind control process.
Hang on, Kate!
Captain Holland grappled with the sentry guard as Vincent and old Bob methodically destroyed Reinhardt's dreadful machinery with laser blasts.
We got you.
Hurry.
We got you.
Hurry!
It's all right, honey.
Charlie, Kate's okay. We're on our way.
Well, it's about time. How close can we cut it?
In the Cygnus control tower, Dr. Reinhardt monitored the crew's escape from the hospital. He turned to Maximilian.
The time has come to liquidate our guests.
Tell the sentries to fire on any human between medical and Palomino.
As old Bob led them back to the Palomino, they were ambushed by a line of sentry robots on an overhead bridge.
All right, Vincent, let's make this one an end run. We'll catch them in a crossfire.
We'll hit them from 5 o'clock high. Take the nine pin, Bob.
I got him!
Way to go, old Bob!
The first fighting I've done in 30 years. I only wish it had been Reinhardt and Maximilian out there.
Maximilian! Your crack unit outwitted and outfought by some Earth robot and that antique from storage. Fire, thrusters.
Charlie, do you read me?
Loud and clear, Dan.
Man the controls, pull Terry at the hatch and give us exactly 60 seconds.
Where are you?
Side corridor near reception. They got us pinned down, but
Dan.
Start counting, Charlie. Charlie, reversing last order. Take her up now. Repeat, lift off.
Ignoring the order, Charlie Pizer jumped to his feet and ran back aboard the Cygnus, a laser in each fist. He soon found his friends.
Yeah! Way to go, Charlie!
Yeah! Now free, Charlie and the crew dashed back toward the safety of their ship. But when they reached the connecting airlock, they found the Palomino was blasting off. Harry Booth, fearing for his life, had taken off without them.
What's that idiot trying to do? Harry!
From the Cygnus control tower, Dr. Reinhardt watched Harry Booth's erratic escape.
Blow it apart before it hits us! Fire!
I should have known he was all talk. No guts and locked him up.
You may have done us a favor, Charlie. At least we're alive.
I'm sure that's not what he had in mind. He was trying to save his own skin.
There is an alternative.
The probe ship. Vincent, you're a genius.
We'll have to try the main corridor.
Old Bob led the Palomino crew toward the probe ship. Then, without warning, a series of explosions rocked the mighty ship.
A meteorite struck the ship, Captain. A whole storm of them, Captain. The black hole's dragging them in, too.
The Palomino crew continued their journey across the battered seas. As they crossed a narrow bridge, a massive meteor ripped through the mile-long hallway and came crashing right toward them.
It's moving, Bob! It's the granddaddy of them all!
Let's go, come on!
Still pursued by the relentless sentries, the crew took refuge in Dr. Reinhardt's agricultural station. But the roof, now weakened by meteorite damage, finally ripped apart. Cyclone winds and sub-freezing temperatures whirled through the garden as the giant room decompressed. Plants and vegetables became airborne missiles. Covered with frost, the crew fought their way through the raging storm and managed to pry open the frozen airlock. One by one, the near-frozen humans rushed into the warmth of the ship's corridors.
We've got to keep moving!
He's frozen. Help me warm him.
Now the badly damaged Cygnus pitched and rolled as it was caught up in the black hole's powerful grip. Undaunted, Dr. Reinhardt remained at the controls.
Increase power to maximum. We are going through.
Just then, one of the massive astro screens broke loose from its moorings and crashed down, trapping Dr. Reinhardt.
Maximilian, help me! Listen to me! Help! Listen, somebody!
But the mindless humanoids continued their tasks, oblivious to Reinhardt's pleas. Just as the Palomino crew came in sight of the probe ship, Maximilian blocked their path. His lasers fired, and old Bob crashed to the floor. Vincent rushed the giant robot and pinned him against the wall. Holland and the others ran past and boarded the probe. Maximilian grabbed the tiny robot and was about to crush him when a small door in Vincent's side opened, revealing a sharp cutting tool. As the tool tore into Maximilian's midsection, his circuitry began to smoke and spark. Vincent turned to help Bob.
Come on now, Bob. We have to go.
No, I can't make it. My hover stabilization's gone. My main circuit's blown. And both backups are failing.
You can make it.
It's no use, Vincent. My useful days are finished. But part of me goes with you. You'll never be obsolete. Carry on the tradition. We're the best.
Vincent boarded the probe ship just as its thrusters came to life.
We better get off! The whole ship's breaking up!
Everybody sit tight! Hang on! Lift off!
The tiny craft arched away from the doomed Cygnus. The crew watched as Reinhardt's crippled ship was twisted and crushed by the unbearable force of the black hole. And finally, the wreckage disappeared headlong into the dark tunnel.
Gravity force field is on!
Control's not responding.
Captain, the ship has been programmed.
To Reinhardt's course.
You mean we're going into the black hole?
Yep.
Let's pray he was a genius.
Unable to overcome the intense gravity, the probe ship was also drawn into the whirlpool. Faster and faster it rushed down the dreadful abyss, accelerating beyond the boundaries of human imagination. Finally, at the speed of light, amid the overwhelming blur of lights and images, a strange sensation of weightlessness and timelessness settled upon the crew. The physical world merged with the mental, and the voyagers found themselves traveling through their own deepest thoughts. Dark images of despair and desolation would suddenly give way to blinding flashes of hope and revelation. Their journey of the mind took them to the very roots of time. Then it was over. The probe ship had come through the black hole. Kate looked through the viewport to see a shining array of stars. Was this their own galaxy? Was it even their own time? There were no answers. They sat serenely, knowing they had faced the most incredible ordeal of space and had survived. They had proved that man was not just an insignificant speck, but something special, like a delicate flower in a cosmic desert, a piece of the universe, a part of creation.
Now, from the makers of Cold Water Omo.
Not a sign of Lucas on the train so far.
You say he's 50, balding, 60 tall and rather heavy?
That's right. No one like him on board. Any place I haven't tried is the guard's van.
Let's meet up in the restaurant car for coffee.
Right. Keep your eyes open, Mrs. Beale.
Oh, I intend to. You know, I just can't believe that sign, just married, is for real. I don't think young couples went in for that sort of publicity these days.
Well, you can't very well interrupt them. The blinds are down.
Mm. But if Lucas wanted complete privacy, what better way could he have of achieving it?
Mm. All right, over to you, Mrs. Beale. On your own head, be it.
The Avengers. And Emma Peel, The Avengers. And Emma Peel complete a journey which leads to a very strange train of events. John Steed had taken an urgent phone call from Mark Lucas, one of Britain's top secret agents. Lucas had told him that he was onto something big, but couldn't divulge more information over a telephone. He'd requested that they meet his train at Norborough at 8:10. Steed and Mrs. Peel kept the appointment, but Lucas didn't get off the train, and so Steed and Mrs. Peel got onto it. They had searched all along the corridors, but had had no luck. Steed was quite worried, as Mark Lucas wasn't the sort of man to ask for help unless he was in a very tight spot. Mrs. Peel, still intrigued by the just married sign on the compartment door, knocked smartly and entered.
Beg your pardon.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Wrong compartment.
It has got a notice up, you know.
Has it? I didn't think.
Yes. Just now. We'd like to be alone if you don't mind.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. I'm so sorry. Oh, congratulations, by the way. Bye-bye.
I wish that notice wasn't a mistake. It seems to attract people, not put them off.
You know who that woman is?
Never seen her before in my life.
Must have gone up Norbert. They keep an eye out. They've got trouble enough without prying eyes. If she comes back and causes trouble, let me know, right?
Right. Meantime, since it's supposed to be a honeymoon, couldn't we order just one bottle of champagne? Just for appearance's sake. Please, Bart.
In the restaurant car, Mrs. Peel chose a seat and looked around her.
Can I help you, madam?
Oh, thank you, but I'm waiting for someone. I can't understand it. This man said he'd be here 10 minutes ago. Perhaps you've seen him. He's about 50, 60, rather heavily built, going bald.
No, madam, no, no. I'll see no one I can.
Can I help?
Oh, no, he's lost her friend.
Lost? Off the train?
Well, your friend can't have gone far, can he?
Well, he isn't actually a friend, exactly.
No?
No, he,
Well, he seemed agitated, so I spoke to him, and well, he said he was in trouble.
I see. And what else did he tell you?
Just that he was broke. That's why I lent him the money.
Oh, is that so?
Yes, £5. I gave him £5.
So that's why you're so anxious to find him. Yes, excuse me.
The ticket collector searched in his waistcoat pocket and withdrew a small bottle. He unclasped the lid and popped a lozenge into his mouth. And Mrs. Peel suppressed a smile and raised an eyebrow.
Tranquilizer. 20 years of the railway plays a very devil with one's stomach. I'm so sorry I can't help you, ma'am. He probably gave you the slip at Norbra. Yes, that's the most likely thing. Slipped off at Norbra. That's what he must have done.
The ticket collector disappeared from the restaurant car and headed to the guard's van. In the guard's van, Steed was making quick search. There were several large packing cases and various crates.
All big enough to contain a body. Can't open up all of them.
Steed turned to a large trestle table and lifted a sheet of tarpaulin.
An Egyptian mummy case. Extraordinary.
Steed managed to get the lid off without much difficulty.
Extraordinary. Empty. It's just a paper bag. Sandwiches. Look rather tasty.
Steed helped himself to a sandwich, munching away delightedly, when the ticket collector said,
well, bread's amazingly fresh. Liver sausage. It would have been more tasty on rye bread.
As it happens, I prefer white bread.
Oh, so sorry, I didn't realize it.
What are you doing in here, sir, if I may be so bold?
Well, I've been looking for someone.
In there?
Well, he always was a mummy's boy.
Well,
it was at that moment that Steve noticed Mark Lucas's briefcase down amongst the luggage. Without batting an eyelid, he stooped, picked it up, and sauntered away, saying,
Norbra was your only stop, wasn't it?
That's right, sir.
Well, then he must still be on the train. Thank you.
Steve made his way back to the restaurant car. Mrs. Peel wasn't there. She found herself an empty compartment. As Steve started to walk past, she rapped on the glass.
Luck?
Well, unless you're traveling incognito as a young bride, he isn't on the train.
I managed to pick this up in the guard's van.
Steed dropped the briefcase down on the seat. The little leather tag had the name Mark Lucas clearly printed upon it.
This means he is on the train.
Was. And he's in trouble. It's standard procedure. If an agent hits trouble and after running, he has to leave something behind, something to identify.
But if this is true, then where did he run to? We know he didn't get off at Norbra. The train doesn't stop anyone else. Is the case locked?
Yes.
Kingsport! Kingsport! End of the line!
Come on, Mr. Steele. We'll attend to this back at my place.
Excuse me, madam. A gentleman asked me to give you this.
The attendant handed Mrs. Peel a £5 note.
He said to apologize for the inconvenience. Bye.
You know, I really must try that one a bit more often.
As the train drew into the station, Mrs. Peel followed Steele along the corridor. As they passed the door with just Mary on it, Bart and his so-called bride were picking up their things.
Oh, goodbye. Have a happy honeymoon. Thanks. Come on, dear, let's go.
Shh. Mrs. Bart, you see what that man is carrying under his arm?
Just a briefcase.
Mark Lucas's briefcase. Let's pick it up here on the train.
What do we do?
Leave this to me.
Bart placed one hand underneath his coat, checking on the gun in its holster. Then, turning up the collar of his coat, made after Steve and Mrs. Peel, who were heading for a taxi bank. Watch it, Steve. The journey isn't over yet. In Steve's apartment, the briefcase presented little trouble to open.
Yes. Small automatic.
Wallet. A label marked 4767. Framed photo of a sweet old lady. His mother?
Auntie Maud.
Do you know her?
Maud. M-A-U-D. Microfilm and unciphered document. Army issue pouch.
Agents for the use of.
Right. What else?
4767. 4th of July, 67. Independence Day?
Could be. Not the papers. I think for some time to decipher these.
Steve, there's other photographs here. This one, Edward Salt. He was on the train. Personal secretary to Admiral Cartney.
You sure he was on the train?
Yes. Who's Admiral Cartney?
Big wig at the Admiralty. Might be worth looking into this while I settle the paperwork.
Shall be done. First thing in the morning. Right now, I'm going to put the kettle on for coffee. I shan't be long.
Steve returned to the examination of the briefcase when...
All right, I'll get it.
Bart stood in the doorway, a newspaper in one hand, and behind the newspaper, a gun. Bart smiled, raised the newspaper, but Steve, sensing that something was very wrong, slammed the door shut. There was a shot. Steve waited, slowly and cautiously opened the door. Bart fell into the room, dead. Mrs. Peel entered from the kitchen at speed.
Steve, what the... Whoops. You really are going to have trouble with your cleaning lady. She must be fed up with this sort of thing.
He tried to kill me.
Antisocial. But you ruined his honeymoon.
Huh?
This man, he was on the train, accompanied by a blushing bride. They were the ones I checked on.
Let's see what he was carrying on him. What? He was carrying a rail ticket. Chase Holt Station.
What's that?
About three stops down the line from Norbrown, except that nothing stops there anymore.
Oh, why?
Because Chase Holt closed down years ago. I think we shall have to take yet another train journey. Don't you, Mrs. Peel?
Who believe that life here began out there, far across the universe, with tribes of humans who may have been the forefathers of the Egyptians, or the Toltecs, or the Mayans, that they may have been the architects of the Great Pyramids, or the lost civilizations of Lemuria, or Atlantis. Some believe that there may yet be brothers of man who even now fight to survive far, far away amongst the stars.
The majestic battle star, Galactica, is on its way to a peace ceremony, ending a thousand-year war with the robot race of Cylons. Aboard the Battlestar Atlantia, the president offers a toast to the delegates representing the 12 colonies of mankind.
Noble delegates, I realize you're all anxious to get back to your ships before our rendezvous with the Cylons, but I think it appropriate to toast the most significant event in the history of mankind. I would like to raise my chalice to you. Not merely as the quorum of 12, representing the 12 colonies of man, but as my friends, the greatest leaders ever assembled. As we approach the seventh millennium of time, the human race at last will find peace. Thanks to you.
Peace. During this meeting, the Galactica sends out a routine long-range patrol.
Launch Bay Alpha, stand by to launch Fighter Probe.
Acknowledge input recorded and functioning.
Vector coordinates coded and transferred. Acknowledge.
No Acknowledge, ready to launch.
Core systems transferring control to probe craft. Launch when ready.
Aboard their Vipers, Commander Adama's two sons, Squadron Leader Captain Apollo, and Lieutenant Zach, who's on his first mission, scout the vastness of deep space.
Forget how different it is out here.
This is nothing. When the war is officially over, we may be able to get back to deep star exploration. That's the challenge, Zach.
Apollo, two targets on my scanner just above the old moon Simtar.
Could be a storm. I think we'll be coming right through it. Look, you hold positions and cover me while I take a look. Well, look at that.
What is it?
Warbook says a Cylon tanker. She kind of reads it empty.
Apollo, I have a funny feeling about this.
Well, we gave a look.
From behind the Cylon tanker, an enormous task force of enemy fighters approaches.
Let's get out of here.
Why?
I'll explain later.
Colonial Viperian pilot intercepting.
It's an ambush. And they've got enough firepower to destroy the entire fleet. Turbos full forward thrust now. Right here, you creeps. Hey, not bad, little brother. Okay, you go after the guys on the right.
Huge armada of Cylons closes in on them.
Better look at your scanner. Oh, but 1,000 to 1, that's not fair. What's it mean? It means there isn't going to be any peace. There may not be much of anything if we don't warn the fleet. Do it. I'm short an engine. You know I won't be able to keep up with you. Zach, I'm not going to leave you. You have to. I'm putting my foot in that turbo. I'll make it back ahead of them. Now go on. You got to warn the fleet. I'll be all right. You can fly with me anytime, little brother. Good luck.
Get me the president, please.
Mr. President, our patrol is under attack. We don't know by whom. As a precautionary measure, I would like to launch intercept fighters.
Why should you think that's highly inadvisable in view of the delicacy of our situation?
You're quite right, Baltar. Commander, as a precautionary measure, I insist upon restraint. If this turns out to be an encounter with some outlaw traffic, we could jeopardize the whole cause of peace by displaying fighters when we are so close to our rendezvous.
Mr. President, two of my starfighters are under armed attack.
By forces unknown. Are not to launch until the situation is more clear.
Sir, may I at least urge you to bring the fleet to a state of alert?
I will consider that. Thank you, Commander.
You'll consider it? You'll consider it?
All right.
I'm sorry, Commander. It's just that... Well...
What?
The patrol is under the command of Captain Apollo.
Well, if I can't have confidence in my firstborn son, whom can I depend upon?
Commander, Zach is with him. It's his first patrol.
Pursued and greatly outnumbered by Cylon fighters, Lieutenant Zack tries vainly to reach the Galactica, but his disabled Viper has lost half of its power.
Come on, baby, give me all you got. Blue Flag 2 in trouble. Request emergency approach. Patrol the fleet! Patrol the fleet! I need help! What was that?
That was my son, Mr. President.
Buster of shield, now. Launch fighters. All batteries commence fire.
All fire control stations manned and operational.
The swarm of Cylon fighters reaches the Galactica and the other battle stars and engages the defending Vipers in a fierce battle.
Sir, they're off. Fighters launched, sir.
Are the other ships able to launch their fighters?
Negative, sir.
Lord help us.
Captain, we have to know how many base ships we're dealing with.
No base ships.
You must be mistaken, Captain. Fighters couldn't function this far from Cylon without base ships. They don't carry enough fuel.
Just fighters, maybe 1,000.
How do you account for that, Apollo?
We picked up an empty tanker on our scanner. It's my guess the Cylons used it to refuel for the attack after flying to that point from wherever their base ships are.
Why operate this far from Cylon without base ships when it isn't necessary? They would have been well out of our range at the old moon.
Unless it was necessary for them to be somewhere else. Get me the president!
Hey, Starbuck, it's dangerous around here.
Mr. President, I request permission to leave the fleet. I have reason to suspect our home planets may face imminent attack.
How could I have been so completely wrong? I have led the entire human race to ruin.
Atlantean Death Squadron, attack.
In the midst of the battle, the Cylons concentrate their attack on the Battlestar Atlantean, which carries the Federation President.
Oh, my God.
Commander, our long-range scanners have picked up Cylon base ships. At grid 035, 126, and 258. That puts them well within striking range of the planets Virgum, Sagittaria, and...
Yes, and Caprica.
Speak, Centurion.
All base ships are now in range to attack the colonies.
The final annihilation of the life form known as man. Let the attack begin.
Cylons spring their trap. The colonial fleet is too far away to help, and the undefended colonies are easy prey to a treacherous attack. An attack so vicious and so devastating, the human race would never forget it.
Please move, the building's gonna topple! Everybody, run for cover! Run!
Come on.
is under attack. A second wave is coming.
Aboard the Galactica, they watch helplessly on their monitors as their homes, their loved ones, their entire civilization are utterly destroyed.
Oh, Sam. And all the guys, they trusted us to protect them. And we...
wasn't any choice.
Commander, Cylon base ships on long-range scanner, launching to all outer planets.
No hope, Commander.
But said to Terra.
Planets in flames, Commander.
Have my shuttlecraft prepared, please.
Shuttlecraft?
Going down on the surface.
Commander, that is out of the question. If the Cylon scanner should pick
you up... You will continue to rendezvous with the survivors of the fleet.
I'll take you and my fighter. You're the last surviving member of the Council, Father. If we should run into a Cylon attack ship, at least you'll have a chance.
I insist on that, Commander.
Very well.
Core systems transferring control to probe craft. Launch when ready.
On the still smoldering surface of Caprica, Adama and Apollo sift through the ruins of their home. Adama finds pictures of his family.
I'm sorry, I was never there when it mattered. Never.
Yeah. Father, there are crowds coming. They probably saw our ship land.
I was just gathering a few things here. This likeness of you and Zach.
Father, we can't stay. Mother wasn't here.
No. She was here. She was here.
Where were they? Where were they? Where are the rest of you fancy flyers?
Where were you when they killed the rest of us? What were you doing, boy?
Wait, let him talk. I want to know where you were as well. All of you. We waited. We watched and prayed. And you never came.
Most of us are dead. The fleet is all but destroyed.
But you're here.
From the Battlestar Galactica.
It survives?
Yes.
What are the President and the Council of Twelve and all the other colonies?
All destroyed.
Commander Adama.
Yes, Serena.
It's true, then. We're defeated, doomed.
Can I ride your ship, sir?
Fighter planes are no place for little boys.
They're going to have to be if our people are going to survive. We must fight back.
Yes, we are going to fight back, but not here, not now, not in the colonies, not even in this star system. Let the word go forth to every man, woman, and child who survived this Holocaust. Tell them to set sail at once in every assorted vehicle that will carry them. Word went forth to every outpost of human existence. And they came. The Aries, the Geminis, the Virgos, the Scorpios, the Pisons, and the Sagittarians. In all,
220 ships, representing every colony, color, and creed in the star system. Race might have one more chance, but first it would have to survive the Alliance, the elements, and the unknown dark and sinister threats that would lie ahead, like the traitor, Baltar.
Their destruction is complete.
Our forces have taken prisoners near the space drone. They tell of survivors who escaped in ships.
What ships? How far can they go? If a handful of survivors did indeed escape, they would have neither fuel nor food for a prolonged voyage.
The information is not complete. It is offered in exchange for life.
And what is the standing order for humans from your imperious leader?
Extermination.
Then carry out your orders. If they exist, they're doomed.
Galactica now leads the ragtag fleet of 220 ships. Commander Adama outlines his plans.
We gather here as representatives of each ship in our fleet to answer that single question. Where will we go?
Our recorded history tells us that we descended from a mother civilization, a race that went out into space to establish colonies. Those of us here assembled now represent the only known surviving colonies, save one. A sister world, far out in the universe, remembered to us only through ancient writings. It is my intention to seek out that remaining colony, that last outpost of humanity in the whole universe.
Commander Adama, this 13th colony, this other world, where is it and what is it called?
I wish I could tell you that I know precisely where it is, but I can't. However, I do know that it lies beyond our star system, in a galaxy very much like our own, on a planet called Earth.
Serpentine by your command.
Report, Centurion, on the final assault.
On each of the 12 planets, a similar story is told of a handful of ships who escaped destruction to rendezvous with a warship.
What kind of warship?
A battlestar called Galactica.
Then go and seek out Baltar. Tell him I am displeased. Tell him I offer a choice. Deliver the battlestar Galactica, or deliver his head.
As Captain Apollo, Lieutenant Starbuck, and Flight Sergeant Boomer inspect the fleet, they see that food, water, and medical supply shortages have begun to take their toll.
Where's the food?
Everything's going to be taken care of. Just be patient.
But where's the water? We haven't had water in 2 days.
We'll have food and water to you.
But what's happening? Could you promise us water? Just give us a little water. Can't you put even water down here a little bit? We just need a little bit of water to last
us an hour. You waste a fool. Why haven't we seen or heard from anyone in 2 days?
Please, please tell us what's going on. Have we been left behind?
No, you haven't been left behind. Just be patient.
The beautiful Serena sees the captain and asks for his help.
Captain?
Yes?
I heard that you'd come aboard. I wonder if I might borrow you for a moment. It's my son. He hasn't moved in 2 days. He lost a little dagger, which meant everything to him. I thought you might be able to help.
It won't eat for you. I don't know what I can do.
Well, he seemed to spark a little when you picked him up on Caprica. I got the feeling that you were good with children.
I grew up with a kid brother.
Okay.
Where is he?
There.
Excuse me. I'm in charge of finding young men to try as future fighter pilots. Your name is?
Boxy.
Boxy.
Okay. Just what I thought. You're right at the top of my list. You know, I've been looking all over for you. You should have made contact with the commander. We're very short on fighter pilots.
I'm too little to be a pilot.
Oh, sure, right now. But how long do you think it takes to become a full colonial warrior, huh?
I don't know. I want muscle.
Well, I don't know. There's not much room for a Daggett in a fighter plane.
He's gone. He ran away.
Hey. Well, maybe we can find one of Muffet's friends.
I asked. There are no Daggetts.
Well, I'll tell you what. As a colonial warrior first level, you are entitled to the first Daggett that comes along, okay? But only on the condition that you get your rest. Close your eyes. Eat all your primaries. And stop chasing girls.
Since Boxy's Daggett was killed on Caprica, Captain Apollo orders a robot Daggett built for him.
You're gonna love this, Boxy.
That's not Muffet. He's not even a real Daggett.
No, but he can learn to be like a real one. He's very smart. And if you would help us, it'll be even smarter.
Stop that.
Fleet heads toward the planet Carillon, hoping to find food and fuel. But first, Apollo, Starbuck, and Boomer must clear a vast minefield with laser torpedoes fired from their Vipers.
Nova Starfield ahead.
One on 3, 2, 1. We've got it on
radiation shield positive. Launch fighters, now.
Negative. My scan is burning up.
Mine's gone.
That's too bright for the scanner.
Core systems transferring control from probe craft to Galactica. We will guide you through using scanners.
What if we miss a mine?
One of us will be the first to know. Let's go.
We'll talk you through. Countdown to fire. 5, 4, 3. Right. Target destroyed. One target coming up.
It's burning through my canopy.
4, 3.
Just keep firing.
1, fire. And fire. Functions normal.
It's working, Commander. They're clearing a path 100 maxims wide.
Now that is precision flying.
Course one.
I can't see a blessed thing. Are we hitting anything?
We hang the vine now.
9-9.
Skin temperature 120 and still rising.
1-0.
Skin temperature 130 and rising.
5-4.
It's getting hot.
2-1. Fire. 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 Apollo readout 99.
Skin temperature 105 and slowly leveling off.
It's cooling off.
Let's
take a look at where we are.
Negative shield now.
There it is.
Carillon.
I think we're gonna make it.
The landing operation has begun, and the search for tylium fuel on the surface of the planet Carillon is underway.
Boomer.
Yeah, what is it now?
You're not going to believe this.
A land ram, driven by Apollo and Boomer, comes upon a beautiful and magnificent palace in the middle of the rough, desert-like terrain of Carillon.
I don't believe it.
Wait, don't be afraid. Listen, what is this place?
Isn't it fabulous here? All this for so little money. Oh, and I just won over a thousand cubits. Isn't that amazing?
You won those cubits here?
Oh, in here. Everybody's doing it. It's incredible. You know, if it's illegal, you're going to have to fight the whole star system. I have to go. I have a moonlight cruise, two moons. Oh, how can you go wrong?
I don't get it. How cut off can these people be? She didn't act like she'd even heard about the destruction of the colony.
Yeah, there's something even more peculiar. Why haven't we heard about this place?
Look, I suppose you know every gambling chancery in the star system.
The odds must be incredible here. Boomer, people are winning a fortune.
Yes, and they're obviously well-fed. Look, why don't we find out about who's in charge of this place and see about getting some food back up to the fleet.
Hold it, Boomer. The last thing these people may want to find is a battle star sitting on their front door.
I haven't found the gambling den yet that didn't depend on military pay vouchers to keep its doors open.
Now, Boomer, until we find out who these people are, just remember, it'll only take one informant. We'll have the whole Cylon war machine on its way. I want to look around, sit in on a game or two, see if I can find out what's behind this place.
Meanwhile, Landrum 2 continues in search of the precious fuel.
Now, your mission, Boxy, is to keep your eye on that readout. When the counter gets up to 10, it means we're right on top of a rich tylium deposit.
Yes, sir. Quiet, Muffet. I see it. Tylium.
Nice going, Boxy.
That's a pretty hot reading, Skipper. We may be right on top of that old mine. I better check it out.
Okay, Jolly, keep your eyes open.
Muffy! Muffy!
Thank you.
For what?
For saving my son's life.
Getting things a little out of proportion. Anyway, maybe I should be thanking you.
You don't know anything about me or what happened to Boxy's father.
When you're ready, you'll tell me. In the meantime, nothing that's gone on before really counts for much. As far as the human race is concerned, we're all starting over.
Muffy! 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 Muffy!
As Boxy searches for his runaway Daggett, he's kidnapped by the ant-like Ovion creatures.
Any sign of Boxy? What is it? What's happening on this planet?
Hello.
Apollo and Serena are taken to meet with the Ovion Queen.
This may be the largest Tylian mine in the star system.
I don't care about that. I just want to know what's happened to Boxy.
Welcome to Carillon. You are impressed?
Confused would be more like it. Listen, we've lost a little boy.
He is safe. We found him and brought him here. Would you care to join him?
Yes, we would.
The doors to the gambling chancery open.
Captain, good fortune smiles on us.
Yes, like nothing we ever dreamed of, Captain. They've got everything we need here. Plenty of it. Yeah, happy to share.
Sounds like paradise.
Yeah, it does.
We've come so far, so quickly. There's been little time for reason. What is the curious secret behind the existence of this outpost on the outer rim of our star system? There are many such oases for intergalactic travelers, but none so far off the known arteries of trade, and none so curiously close to a Tylian mine. Fuel has begun to arrive from the Ovion mines, but in curiously small quantities. Now I feel the growing need for extraordinary measures of precaution. The ships continue to hover over the planet, supported by small maintenance crews whose spirits are as depleted as their numbers. Everyone seems to have forgotten our flight from the Cylons. The beauty and wiles of Carillon hold our people spellbound.
Starbuck.
This is my lucky night.
This might be.
Yeah, well, money isn't everything.
No?
Meanwhile, Adama is summoned to an important conference aboard the Galactica.
What is the purpose of this special council?
Adama, I'm afraid I must ask you to respect the order of business until called upon by this chair. I think Councillor Yuri has a measure to propose. Thank you.
My brothers, a hasty attempt to outrun the Cylons spawned in the midnight of desperation seems foolhardy in the light of day. I propose instead we now attempt to appeal for justice and mercy.
Justice? Justice from the Cylons? Is that what you actually said? Gentlemen, they've told us that they would not stop until every human had been exterminated. Now, why should they believe we are now willing to accept that which we've always found to be unacceptable, to live under Cylon rule?
Because we would destroy our arms to prove we're willing to live in peace.
Destroy our only means of defense.
Or attack. May I remind my brothers, we did not have conflict with the Cylons until we intervened in their relations with other nations.
Yes. Yes, you are right. We did not come into conflict with the Cylons until we helped our neighbors, whom the Cylons wished to enslave.
And until we helped the Hasaris get back their nation, taken by force by the Cylons.
Correct. If we mind our own business, there's every reason to believe that the Cylons will leave us alone.
If you've all come to this council to turn your backs on the principles of our fathers and the lords of Kobol, from whom all colonies evolved, you do so with my utter contempt.
Disgusted, Adama walks out of the meeting.
Warriors are always the last to recognize the inevitability of change. We have a choice. Life or death.
I submit that an issue this grave should be decided by our people.
Maybe you're right, but I'll tell you something. The military won't be easy to convince. How, may I ask, do you propose to present such a delicate matter, eh?
At a celebration to decorate those three brave young men who led us to safety through the perilous Straits of Malacca. One of them, Adama's son, I do believe.
Just the tonic our people need at this moment. Some old-fashioned, down-to-goodness heroes.
Suspecting trouble, the cautious Commander Adama meets with Colonel Tai within the privacy of Viper cockpits in the launching bay.
You patched into my internal comm system. We are completely isolated. No one can hear us.
Yes, I understand, but why would anyone want to?
It grieves me to think that we have to take such precautions on our own battle star. Tsar Yuri's men are expecting me to make some kind of move over his disarmament plan. I find that even my private quarters are being monitored. Now, what I'm about to propose is somewhat risky. You don't have to go along if you don't want to.
Commander, if you say we should do it, naturally I say we should do it. What is it we're about to do?
Ty, when would be the most devastating time for a Cylon strike?
Almost any time with half of our warriors down on... During the celebration, when all of our warriors are down on Carillon.
If we were attacked without being able to recall our warriors, we wouldn't have a chance. A few well-placed Cylon bombs in the heart of this launching bay, and we wouldn't be able to get a single fighter into the air.
Then you do think there's more to Carillon than generosity?
It smells like a trap. It feels like a trap. I believe it is a trap. It is imperative that we get our pilots closer to our ships. Or perhaps the other way around. Get our ships closer to our pilots.
How do we get our fighter ships down to Carillon without getting Council clearance?
Well, we launch a couple at a time as if they were part of a regular patrol.
The Council has ordered all of our warriors to be at the party.
They will be there. In a manner of speaking. Now, Yuri doesn't know all of our warriors on sight. He'll be counting uniforms, not men.
He'll be counting uniforms?
Yes. And I want you to collect all the warrior uniforms you can possibly lay your hands on and fill them with whomever you can find. Mechanics, kitchen personnel, anyone. And get them down to that party.
What do I tell them?
Tell them anything. Tell them they're on a secret mission, which is the truth.
I'll do my best.
Aboard a shuttle, Captain Apollo and Serena make their way to the ceremony in honor of the three heroic warriors.
It's very strange.
What is?
That man's insignia is Blue Squadron. I thought I knew everybody in it, and look at the fit of that uniform.
Apollo, tonight is the night of Thanksgiving, and everyone's dressing up and making do with whatever they have. He probably hasn't worn that in years. Besides, the guest of honor looks absolutely delicious.
Lovely you look in your uniform.
Huh? Oh. Hey, isn't this something, Boxy? Our hosts have been very generous.
I don't like them.
I told him the Ovians wouldn't approve of him bringing Muffet to the celebrations.
Well, we put one over on him, didn't we?
Except for your captain, I deduce from the uniforms that most of your warriors are here.
Yes, well, I'm always a big draw.
Starbuck.
Yes?
What is it? I'm talking to the great and near great.
Well, when you come down, tell me who that is.
Darn if I know. I sure have lousy tailors.
Starbuck, you should know them.
Now, why should I know them?
Because they're wearing the insignia from our squadron.
Yeah, don't start without me.
Where is the lieutenant going?
To find the captain, sir.
Excellent. Hey, what's going on?
Captain, stop those guys!
What are you doing, Starbuck?
I've been running into guys all night who aren't from our unit, but they're wearing our unit's clothes.
That officer in the shuttle.
Well, you spotted one of them?
Yeah, maybe. I think we better check this out.
In the deep caverns of Carillon, the Ovions and their Cylon overlords plan the attack on the humans.
How many warriors? Nearly their full complement of warriors. See that the humans remain entertained until the end. Then they will be yours in the lower chambers.
To their great surprise, Apollo and Starbuck overhear the Ovions plotting with the Cylons.
Me and my big mouth.
Well, at least we know the secret of Carillon.
Do we? What's the connection between the casino and all this? Let's get out of here and figure that one out.
Boxy comes face to face with a sinister Cylon.
Run, Boxy, run! Apollo, you thinking what I'm thinking?
All this Tylium must have fired the biggest bomb in the universe.
Yeah.
It's a little late to try and talk to these fellas.
I think so.
As they flee for their lives, Apollo, Starbuck, and Boxy enter a room filled with humans on whom the Ovions have been feeding.
Oh, my God.
Some of them are probably from our ships.
No wonder no one's ever left here to tell about this resort. The Ovions are living off of them. They're probably selling the Tylium they mine to the Cylons.
That's not...
Hey, Boxy, come back here!
They set free the beautiful Cassiopeia, who had been captured by the treacherous, insect-like creatures.
Starbuck!
Let's go, follow me!
We're doing fine. Whoops.
There's too many of them.
Go for the ceiling. Set fire to the Tylium.
That doesn't mean why you're a captain.
Report, Centurion.
It is done, Imperious Leader.
Let the attack begin.
By your command, Imperious Leader.
Hordes of fighters stream from the giant Cylon base ships on their way to destroy the Galactica and its beleaguered fleet.
Warm scan positive. Multiple three passenger vehicles.
Cylon attack craft. So they spring their trap.
Enemy closing. 30 microns.
Recall all warriors from service. As the Galactica prepares for the impending onslaught, on the surface of Carillon, the warriors head toward their Vipers.
Johnny, what are you doing in combat dress?
The rest of Blue Squadron didn't get to go to the party, sir. I guess they had to let you go, though. They'd have been wise they didn't have all the military personnel there.
Well, if you didn't go to the party, who were those guys?
Anybody the commander could find them and quit to fill the uniforms. You should have been the one that got mine. I want you ladies in that shuttlecraft.
Johnny, what's going on?
The whole squadron is waiting for orders from the Galactica.
15 microns.
Cylon attack force now closing to killer range.
We are not sending out interceptors. We have taken them completely by surprise.
Closing in 5 microns.
4, 3, 2, 1.
A Cylon fighter streaks toward the Galactica and crashes into the Battlestar.
Fire in the bay!
Damage control.
Adama's plan works. Blue Squadron launches to the rescue of the Galactica.
Boomer?
Ready, Captain.
Let's go.
Are they gonna be surprised?
Starbuck?
Yo.
On your tail.
Got nothing to worry about.
Tell me
our readers are all destroyed.
All destroyed? How? We took them by surprise.
Apparently, it was not as big a surprise as we had hoped for.
Let's go home. Some home. Piece of metal in the middle of nowhere. It's just plain nowhere. At least until we find Earth. Think we'll ever really find it? We'll find it. Someday.
Cylon tyranny, the last battle star, Galactica, leads a ragtag fugitive fleet on a lonely quest. A shining planet known as Earth.
Have a good evening and come back again next week. This has been Bill Holwig from West Texas for Broken Sea Audio Productions. www.brokensea.com. Good evening. Good evening. The music for tonight's episode was composed by Brian Seraphic Panopoli and Stevie Farnaby.